Otto up top fires a three that missed very badly. Cobbins has the rebound for Kansas. And the final seconds of this game and the KU season tick away. Final score, USC 73, Kansas 55. Trojans move to the Sweet 16.
So our Division I teams are now officially eliminated. It was, of course, K-State men were eliminated first. Then it was the KU men. Then it was the K-State women. Now the KU women lose last night. Second round of the NCAA tournament to USC. USC the one seed. KU women were the eight seed as All-American Juju Watkins, 28 points. USC made 13 threes in the game. Mackenzie Forbes with six of those triples. KU, meanwhile, had just three makes from beyond the arc, so they were minus 30 from the three-point line. Hard to win games when that happens. And USC went on a 26-9 run when KU got within one in the third quarter. Samaya Nichols with 22. Tiana Jackson with 10 points, 18 rebounds in her final game as a Jayhawk. KU finished year 20-13. USC moves on. Number one seed Iowa was challenged. Got past number eight seed West Virginia, 64-54 last night. Game was tied with 2 minutes to go. I mean, Iowa was on the brink of being done. Caitlin Clark being done. Mark Kellogg, the head coach of West Virginia, saying, we're going to win the first game and then we're going to send Caitlin Clark home packing. He almost did it at Iowa. Pretty impressive stuff. Caitlin Clark had 32 of her team's 64 in the win as Iowa closes on a 12-2 run. She has 1,113 points this season, which is a new single-season record acknowledged by the NCAA. First player ever to have two straight 1,000-point seasons. Iowa faced number five Colorado in Albany. Oklahoma saw their season come to a close with a loss to Indiana, 75-68. So the Big 12 is left with two teams that are still alive, Baylor and number one seed Texas, as number one seed Texas will take on Gonzaga in the Sweet 16 as they won over Utah on Monday night. So Texas, of course, still a member of the Big 12, just won't be next year. Colorado will become a member of the Big 12 next year. So Baylor and Texas are holding the flag for the Big 12 in the women's tournament. In the men's tournament, it is Iowa State and Houston that are still raising the flag for the Big 12. So there's an update on all that. You can go to NCAA.com to look at more of the brackets when it comes to the women's tournament, so forth and so on. This is a sports ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. As there was a big comeback in NBA. We'll cover that and more coming up in 30.
Does your vehicle have a leak, squeak, or rattle? Is there an annoying warning light shining at you from the dash? I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. If you have an automotive issue, don't just live with it because you're afraid of what it might cost to get it fixed. We offer a 15-minute no-wrench inspection for free so you can get a professional opinion about your problem without spending a dime. Call or stop by today. We're happy to take a look at almost anything for free. That's Kiefer Brothers Automotive, just south of the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieferBrothers.com.
DJ, no! Tip Capella! He gets it out to Hunter for three!
That's a dagger! That's the dagger!
Boston Celtics are the best team in NBA, but they know how to blow big leads, and they blew a big one last night. They had a 30-point lead, 68-38. Hawks come all the way back and win, 120-118, thanks to that shot by DeAndre Hunter, former national champion himself with Virginia. And the Celtics, despite the loss, have won 20 of the last 22. They were on a 9-game winning streak. They are 57-15, and they've clinched the top seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But up 30 last night and did not finish it. And Domantas Sabonis may not have made an NBA All-Star game this season, but he has a remarkable achievement to share. He has had a double-double in 54 consecutive NBA basketball games. That, my friends, is a 13-year-old record that has been broken. Thanks to Sabonis doing that last night, 54 consecutive double-doubles. Kevin Love had 53 double-doubles in a row. It is now the longest consecutive streak of double-doubles since the ABA-NBA merger. So, Domantas Sabonis getting it done. A double-double machine. NFL has made some rule changes. NFL's owners made a dramatic change to the rule book yesterday. It's a change that most NFL players don't seem too happy about. The owners unanimously voted to ban hip drop tackles starting with the upcoming season. If a player gets flagged for a hip drop tackle, his team will get hit with a 15-yard penalty and the opponent will get an automatic first down. Here's the exact language from the new rule. It is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. A, grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms. B, unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. The NFL Player Association did not want to see the tackle banned, but the owners approved the new rule anyway, and it's pretty clear based on social media reaction that a lot of players and former players around the league aren't very happy with the new rule. The NFL wants to cut down on injuries. The NFL did some research on the tackle, and the league found that the injury rate is somewhere between 20 to 25 times higher than that of other regular tackles. And just to hear some of the comments from NFL players in regards to this new rule, and not surprisingly, it comes from defensive players. Patrick Queen says, two-hand touch, gone. Gonna be next. Laugh my you-know-what off. Cam Jordan, hold up the flag. Flag on the play. Had a picture of an official throwing a flag. Breaking news, tackling football has been banned, is what one NFL player put. Mike Hilton said, offensive league, you know that. They love passing rules, help the offense. We fed up with the special treatment. Patriots linebacker said, no horse collar, no ducking the head, no hip drop, no slamming, no big hits on defenseless receiver. Y'all must not have had to tackle these dudes before. That's a pretty good point. Another player said, being a ref getting tougher, how do you even judge that? They are still trying to figure out what a catch is, which is another great point. Man, they make an impossible play defense, said one offensive player. And J.J. Watt said, just go ahead and fast forward to the belts with flags on them. So it is already tough to play defense. Here's the thing that I think is kind of funny. The NFL wants to cut down on injuries. Then don't allow them to tackle at all. Just go to flag football. Yeah. Let's go to the Pro Bowl flag football game. If you want to cut down injuries, just don't make it a contact sport anymore. That's the way to solve the injury part.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there'll have a few non-contact injuries, but yeah, this is getting ridiculous. And it's another judgment call for official to make.
It just
makes the official's job even harder. We need to simplify it, keep it simple, make it easier, not harder. But that's what we do. And then these officials are going to get ripped for instituting a rule that was not their fault. They're just governing the rules, enacting the rules. Major League Baseball has a new one now, if you haven't seen in spring training, where I saw it the other day, and I'm like, it was a normal play. Guy's trying to steal second, and they throw down, and the guy catches the ball, drops the tag down. He's out by 2 feet. It's a clear call, and they say obstruction because the shortstop that came over was blocking second base, which that's usually the throw comes over, and they called the guy safe. And it's not the umpire's fault. It's the new rules that they're putting in.
The hip tackle, the hip drop tackle, whatever. Like, I'm sitting here like, where, like, I'm with the defensive players. Like, how am I supposed to tackle these professional athletes that are the best at what they do? If you're only giving me basically like form tackle above the waist, this is the only way you can. I mean, we're going to get to that point where you're not even going to be able to. You know, we always say tackle a running back low so he can't get his steam going, right? Like you're going to get to the point where you can't even hit the running back, like you can't hit the quarterback below the knees, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I agree. It's like, why are we just not just throwing belts and flags on them and pulling those? Because it's not easy to tackle at any level. And when you're taking away options to bring a guy down, and the object of the game is to bring the guy down, it's kind of difficult for me to understand all that.
Some people have been saying, and players have said this as well, now what you're encouraging is we can't go ahead and tackle and then try to bring the guy down who's fighting for extra yardage. So now we've got to go for their knees.
Yeah.
And just chop them. And that blows out guys' knees. So we've seen a couple of really horrific injuries based on that. So what's next? What's the next thing they're going to ban? Listen, football's a violent sport. I'm all for making it safer with the head, but on that other stuff, it's like, if football's football, man, you're going to get hit and the guy's going to land on your ankle. Yeah. You're going to get twisted to the ground. And if you have long hair, they're going to pull it unless they ban that too. So, I mean, I understand the defenseless receiver. I get that. I don't want Daryl Stingley all over paralyzed, but, and I'm not all for guys breaking their legs or tearing up their knees. But at the same time, that's what you know, that's part of it. When you sign up, concussions are part of it too. I'm not saying you have a choice not to play. I'm not saying that you can't make it safer. I'm not saying that I'm against rules that make it safer, but what you and I are both saying is you're making it so one-sided to where what can the defensive player do to make a play? And so what you're going to have, if you keep making these rules that favor the offense, and like, we know we can't touch a quarterback anymore. So you're going to have a lot of high scoring games with no defense. There's probably that, and that's part of the reason why you don't have as many dominant defenses. I mean, the Chiefs had a really good defense this year, but it was nothing like the 85 Bears.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, or the Ravens in 2000. And maybe that's a good thing for the National Football League. More wide open, you throw the ball more, and there's less chance for injuries, this and that. And speaking of that, we have another new rule up in effect today. You see this? New NFL kickoff rules?
I've seen some stuff about it, but I haven't really dove into it.
I'll give all the information that you people need to know. NFL owners approved, approved a massive revamp of the kickoff today. After 3 days of discussions at the league's annual meeting, they have decided to go with a format that originated in the XFL. The new alignment rules on kickoffs represent the most significant on-field rule change for the NFL in years and are designed to reverse more than a decade of declining return rates while also lowering concussion rates. In essence, the format will move the majority of the kicking and return teams downfield to minimize high-speed collisions. It will go into effect for 1 year only, so on a trial basis. But you know what? They should let every team have their choice of if they want to do it or not, like Keisha did on the shot clock. It will go into effect for 1 year only in anticipation of possible tweaks over time. During the upcoming season, kickers will continue to kick from the 35-yard line, but the other 10 players on the kickoff team will line up on the other side of the field at the receiving team's 40. So you're going to have the kicker that's going to be 25 yards behind. So the other 10 players on the kickoff team are going to line up at the receiving team's 40. So they'll be on the other side of the field. At least 9 members of the return team will line up in a setup zone between the 35 and 30. Up to 2 returners can line up in a landing zone between the goal line and the 20. No one other than the kicker and returners can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player inside the landing zone. Touchbacks will be marked at the 30. So you won't have to go 80 yards anymore unless you have a bad return or a penalty on a return, which is interesting. Once again, favors the offense.
Yeah.
No fair catches will be allowed, which I'm okay with that. In the event a team – now, this I don't like. In the event a team wants to attempt an onside kick, it will have to inform officials of its intent and then be allowed to use NFL's traditional formation. No surprise onside kicks will be allowed. So forget the surprise Super Bowl onside kick that the Saints used.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like that part either.
The proposal follows the structure and philosophy of the XFL version with a slight shift in where the players are aligned. The reason for the change is clear, and its efforts to reduce concussions on kickoffs. The NFL over the past 15 seasons has implemented rule changes designed to reduce returns, so forth and so on. Touchback rates dramatically increased over that period, and the return rate last year was only 22%, which means 22% of all returns were returned to others were touchbacks. Which is, how many times do we see the Chiefs not ever have to cover a kickoff? Many times. Bucker just kicks out of the end zone. The number of concussions dropped. That's good, but the amount of returns dropped a lot. One of the most exciting plays in football. I always loved those returns. Remember Dante Hall?
Yeah.
Devin Hester? You don't have those plays much anymore. And in regards to, there was 3 teams that voted against it. Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell said he was in favor. You felt like that took a significant amount of plays out of the game, and those were from special teams, and you don't make it up really anywhere else. So we put an emphasis on it, so I believe in it. Another rule change, allowing teams to receive a third challenge after 1 successful challenge. Previously, teams had to be successful on 2 challenges to receive a third. That passed, and that was proposed by the Lions. And that looks like it. But there's 2 big major rule changes. The banning of the swivel hip drop. I knew I'd say hip-hop.
Hip-hop tackle.
Hip-hop hip-drop tackle. They're banning that, and then the kickoff's going to be completely different. So, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the kickoff is. I always thought it was interesting when I saw it in the XFL, because when they actually came back that first year before COVID wrecked the rest of the season, I actually watched it, right? Mm-hmm. And there were some interesting things there that I thought would probably be looked at by the NFL and maybe adopted, if not in the same way, maybe in a different way, or kind of thought about in a different way. And so I mean, I'm in agreement on that. I like a kickoff return. I like something in special teams that can impact the game, because there's so many games where you're watching, it's like nothing's going to happen with this kickoff, and you know it. Like, you know, if you're playing the Chiefs, you're not getting a lot of kick returns, right? Because Buckers usually going to boot it through or into or through the end zone, and there's just not going to be a lot going on in that area. And I think that's one of my favorite parts of the college game is a lot of kickers either can't kick that far, or they purposely don't kick that far because they want to cover, or, you know, teams want kickoff returns, and you see it more in the college game, and it's an exciting part of it, and it can be a boost for a team. So anyway, I think to get special teams even more involved, we always talk about it's a three-pronged game, right? Offense, defense, special teams, and any way you can get special teams more involved in that, I don't think is a bad thing. I'm not a huge fan of the 30-yard line touchback thing and the no onside kick thing, as he said. But, you know, I think it overall can add to some of the excitement of the game if you can get some returns.
29 teams voted in favor of the kickoff rules. Only the Raiders, 49ers, and Packers voted against it. Let's fast forward to Super Bowl 59, shall we? Chiefs are playing the Niners again. And the Chiefs already today have covered the new rules to where their players already know how to use them. And let's fast forward to Super Bowl 59. It's the Niners and the Chiefs for the third time, back-to-back years. And the Niners, late in the game, are down. They decide they want to kick an onside, and they did not know that they have to alert everybody they're going to kick an onside. That sounds about right. So, Yeah, I think the NFL kickoff rules, I'm okay with trying it. I've seen a little bit in XFL. The only thing I don't like is there's no surprise onside kick. That's the only thing I don't like about it. Otherwise, I'm willing to give it a chance. The banning of the, as I call it, the hip-hop tackle, but the hip-drop tackle, I understand it. I think there's ones that will be obvious, but I think there's others. It's just, to me, it's going to be a lot like the horse collar situation.
Yeah.
There's guy, the refs miss the horse collar. It looks awkward when a guy goes down. They call a horse collar, and then you find out the guy never did have a horse collar. He grabbed the shoulder pad, I mean, or whatever else. And so it's just another thing that makes it more complicated for the officials, and it is a judgment call. I mean, let's be honest. There's going to be some of these that are going to be obvious, and you're going to go, wow, they nailed it. That was easy. Anybody could have called that. That's true, but there's going to be other ones that are going to be judgment calls or perception of the way it looks from the position that official is on the field, at what angle he looks at the play. And remember, they don't have the benefit of replay. I think a lot of fans don't quite understand that. They don't get to go back and rewind every single call and see if they got it right during the game. The game would take forever if that happened.
Yeah.
So it is making it much, much harder to play defense. There's no question about that. Did you notice the NCAA tournament that, shifting gears for a moment, that coaches that did well the last couple of years immediately got new jobs? You see that?
Yeah.
Like, Jay Madison coach got a job right away and moved up. I forgot where he's going. He's already gone. Danny Sprinkle of Utah State's going to Washington. Boom. Right the day after. I mean, this is all lined up and done. They know this. So when do they tell
Dusty
their players?
Dusty May to Michigan.
Yeah, Dusty May to Michigan. Many people thought he was going to Louisville. Now there's some rumors out there that, you know, Louisville should go after Jerome Tang. I've seen some people in Louisville, media people, saying Jerome Tang would be a good target. Which, hey, listen, if I'm Louisville, I would go after Jerome Tang. Absolutely. Why not? I mean, anybody you can go after, go after. Jerome Tang is, you know, I think, an up-and-coming coach. He's a little older, and some people may understand in regards to when he started, but he's still not that old. I get it, and I think he's going to stay at K-State and be fine. But, you know, once again, if somebody comes with the Brinks truck and they back it up and beep, 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 and they'll give twice as much as K-State will give, Jerome Tang more than likely is going to leave just like anybody else. He can sit here and talk about a man of faith and belief and whatever else, and that, and, you know, if he turns down twice as much money not to go somewhere, then you really would believe that he believes that.
Yeah.
But most people will not. That doesn't mean everybody. And I'm not saying he's going to get twice as much on an offer. What I am saying is there are schools that have openings, and Jerome Tang is going to be targeted by somebody, or at least they're going to kick the tires. They're going to call Jerome Tang or his agents or representative or whatever and say, hey, would Jerome be interested in Louisville? Would Jerome be interested in this? And the same thing happens with Lance Leipold in KU football,
oh, yeah.
and it happens with Chris Klieman in K-State football. And I think Leipold gets many more overtures than Klieman does, because Leipold has moved around. Klieman, I think, is pretty set that's going to be at K-State for a while, especially Gene Taylor's there. But anyway, it's something to just keep an eye on when it comes to the carousel of coaching changes that happen every year, and usually it's right after teams are eliminated from mid-majors that move up. Drake has an opening, as you talked about yesterday, and that guy went to be the head coach at West Virginia. You know, Josh Eilert going to have a job somewhere, and if so, where would that be if he wants to be a head coach, or is he going to stay at West Virginia? There's tons of people out there that could. You know, Bob Huggins says he wants to coach again. He ain't going back to West Virginia, which is amazing when he made it sound like, oh, I don't think I'll be back there. I'm like, you think? They gave you more than a few chances there, Bobby. I don't care if you cleaned up now. You blew it at West Virginia.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're such a good coach, you'll get another chance somewhere, which is fine. It's just not going to be at your alma mater because you screwed that up, and that's on you. But it will be interesting to see if there's any changes within the Big 12 coaching ranks and so forth and so on. So we'll continue to follow it.